Olders 8.
All right. Doppelman Gimel. Page 53 in Avodah Zarah. We're back on 52 on Nun Beis, and we're a little bit behind. We're in the bottom of Nun Beis, I'm at Aleph. So let's try to catch up a little bit this morning. Okay, four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Yesterday we introduced ourselves to the concept of Tumah Yishana, the idea that Midrabanan Tumah bounces right back. An object has Tameh, a Kli has Tumah, and you break the Kli, so Min HaTorah, the Tumah goes away. It's no longer a Kli, once it has no utility, it serves no purpose, so the Tumah goes away. You fix the Kli and the Tumah comes right back. That doesn't work Min HaTorah. Once Tumah goes away, but Midrabanan it comes right back. So the Gemara yesterday had a question. We know that this is true by Tumah D'Oraisa. Is this also true by Tumah D'Rabbanan? Meaning, as we discussed yesterday, is the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan of Tumah Yishana going to apply when the Tumah to begin with is only a Tumah D'Rabbanan? That was the question that we asked yesterday. The Gemara did not know the answer. And then the Gemara had a follow-up question, which is, how about if we talk about Tumah D'Rabbanan of Avodah Zarah? Which the Gemara suggests maybe a higher level of Tumah D'Rabbanan, and maybe we're going to treat it like a Tumah D'Oraisa. And the Gemara on that also, Teku, left that question unresolved. We have four lines from the bottom of the Amud on Nun Beis Amud Aleph. V'amine Rav Yochanan Rav Yanai, Takrovis Avodas Kochav Mishal Ochlem Mahu. What if the Takrovis, the offering that was given to Avodah Zarah, was food? So, Mimahanyele Bito, Litaharino Mitchuma. So, you're Mavato, and is that Bito going to help in terms of taking away the tumah, or not? Now the Gemara says, now you're asking about food, and I don't understand. Why is the question going on food? Really, it could be a generic question on kalim as well, on utensils. Now, but kalim, there is an idea in kalim that you could take away tumah away. It's not a big deal. Just simply dunk it in the mikvah and the tumah goes away. So by kalim, the idea that I'm a vato, the kli, and the tumah is going to go away, I get that because in general, conceptually, tumah goes away from a kli. Food is totally different. Once food becomes tumah, that's it. It's done. There's one exception, which is water. Water, there is an opportunity to remove tumah from water, but that's through a process called hashaka. Okay, but that's an exception. Generally speaking, once food becomes tumah, that's it. It's done. So ki kami ba'ile ochlem b'ti ba'ile avodas kochav m'gufei. So the Gemara says, okay, good. I understand why you're asking about food. I don't understand why you're asking about takrovis avodah zarah. Why don't you talk about avodah zarah itself? Meaning, someone props up an egg and says, this is it, this is my God, I am worshipping the egg. How come you're not bringing that up by food? I'm sorry, by avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, avodah kochav m'gufei lo mibaye. Tevan, the Isura Batel, Tumanami Batela. Look, because when it comes to an Avodah Zarah, we know a Goy can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. So it's not much of a question. If I can remove the Isur, I can remove the Tumah. It sounds, there shouldn't be that I can remove the Isur, but the Tumah is going to stay there. The Tumah is the Rabbanan to begin with. The Tumah is simply attached to it because it's Avodah Zarah. Once it's no longer Avodah Zarah, so there's no Tumah, period. Ki kami baile takrovas avodas kochavim. Sha'och lemai. Kevin the Isura lo bato kedrav gedol. Tumanami lo betela. Takrov is something which is offered to Avodah Zarah. We learned yesterday, never subject to bito. A goy cannot be mevatel takrovas Avodah Zarah. Right? Doesn't make so much sense, but doesn't matter. That's the halacha. That I can, not I, Jew cannot. A goy can be mevatel avodah zarah, the actual idol itself, the deity itself, the goy can say, no more. And it works, and it's no more. But takrovis avodah zarah is not subject to bittul. Right. So now here's the question, right? The Gemara really, really sharpens the whole question over here. It's takrovis avodah zarah, not subject to bittul. We're talking about food. Food can never receive a tahara. So is the tumah going to go away through bittul? O dilma isa d'oraisa lo batul, tumah d'rabbanan batul. Or you could say, look, since the tumah is only tumah d'rabbanan, so maybe the act of bittul will help just a little bit, enough to remove the tumah d'rabbanan. Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay.
Why would you think the two aren't connected? I would just think that there's
right. The first thought of the question that makes is more reasonable, much more reasonable, and by
all things to keep you away from the issue.
Right. Correct. Correct. It's the second side is difficult, and the Gemara is only suggesting because it's Tumah Derabanan, maybe it's just more flexible, more.
No, because the idol you can break it, it's no more idol, but the what you taklovas you offer the can just take it back, it's done.
Right.
It's
just, right. You know, okay. I don't know.
That's what I see.
All right. Vayimene Rav Yosef Rav Yishol my Rav May Rabbi. Okay, new discussion before we get to the next Mishnah. Kalim sheshimshu behem beveis chon yomar sheshamshu mehem beis hamikdash. Okay, anything that was offered in beis chon yom, can I then take the kli and use it in the beis hamikdash? Now, this is not talking about avodah zarah, but it's related. It's, you know, it's like a cousin to avodah zarah. Okay, let me give you a little bit of background information over here. We're talking about beis chon yom, and this is high drama. Right, if we could say it's almost like a soap opera, but we can't say that. It's historical, it's real, and it's a very sad piece of Jewish history. Shimon HaTzadik, right, was Shayari Knesset HaGedola. He was the one of the last of the men of the Great Assembly. He lived in the time of the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash. We know Shimon HaTzadik, probably the most famous story with Shimon HaTzadik was him and Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was coming in and campaigning into Eretz Yisrael, into Yerushalayim, and Shimon HaTzadik does something which was very unusual. He wore the big day kahuna, Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen. Wore the big day kahuna, and met Alexander the Great as he was coming into Yerushalayim to conquer Yerushalayim. Alexander the Great sees Shimon HaTzadik, gets off his horse, and bows to Shimon HaTzadik and says, every time I go into war, I have an image, a dream of this. And so, and there was a great, great peace that was created between the Greeks and the Jews, Alexander the Great and the Jews. And Alexander the Great obviously did not conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's Shimon HaTzadik, right? Shimon HaTzadik had two sons. Shimi.
What's Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohen
Gadol? Yeah. Shimon HaTzadik had two sons, Shimi and Chonyo. And his two sons, so Shimi was the older one, and by a couple of years. And when he died, so there was a power struggle in terms of who was going to take over and who was going to be the Kohen Gadol. And it ended ugly. It ended bad, and because of a messy situation. Having to, it's a bizarre story. When we get to my
first time,
it was a strange story. But that, actually, in Menachos, we're going to see the whole story inside. Anyway, without going through the whole story right now, Chonyo was chased out of Israel, moved to Egypt, opened up his own Beis HaMikdash in Egypt, meaning. If I can't run the show over there in Israel, so I'll just set up my own shop over here in Egypt. Gemara Menachos brings down the big machlokus. That temple that he built in Egypt, was it for idolatry or no? In other words, he actually meant to build like a mini base of Mikdash, just not where it was supposed to be. And that's subject to a debate in the Gemara Menachos. Okay, so whenever discussing Beis Chonyo, you always have to know, it's like whenever we talk about the Kusi. Some say they're Jewish, some say they're not Jewish. Okay? It's really straddling, you know, two extreme positions. Beis Chonyo, the house of Chonyo, some say it was the house of Avodah Zarah, and some say it wasn't. Okay, that's what we deal with whenever we talk about Beis Chonyo. Okay, good. That's all the historical background. Now let's go to the Gemara. So you have a kli that was used in Beis Chonyo, and then it was imported into Eretz Yisrael. Can we use it now in the Beis Hamikdash? Okay. Now we're asking the question with the presumption it's not a Beis Avodah Zarah. It's not. Okay? Again, that's subject to machlokas, but right now we're going to assume that it's not. Did now we learned in the Mishnah Menachos Kohanim Shashim Shabbeveis Chonya Lo Yisham Shabbeigdash Shebiyu Shalayim Bein Tzarech Lama Ledavar Acher. The Mishnah Menachos tells us the following. You have a Kohen who served in Beis Chonya. That's it. Done. If you look at his, you know, look at his resume, and on the resume you read served five faithful years in Beis Chonya, so you say to him, "Look, I'm sure you're really nice. I'm sure you're a great Kohen, but no, you can't work here." And the Mishnah clearly is of the position that Beis Chonya is not Avodah Zarah, because again, let me reread the Mishnah: Kohanim Shishim Shebe Beis Chonya Lo Yisham Shebe Mikdash Shebe Yerushalayim VeEinu Tzarich Lama LaDavar Acher. If he served in an idolatrous temple, the Mishnah Menachos says for sure he's done. If you read that on his resume, right, you don't even have to think about it. If he served in Beis Chonya, or think about it, but then say no. He can't do it. So for sure, the Mishnah Menachos is of the position, Beis Chonya is not a house of Avodah Zarah. It's not good what he did, but it's not Avodah Zarah. So now, here's the Gemara right now sharpening the question. Kohanim hu dekantzinu rabbanim mishum debnei deyaninu. I understand. You're a Kohen. You're a person. You're a bardas. You know better. You know you shouldn't go down to Beis Chonya and serve in the temple of Beis Chonya. It's not appropriate. Right? He may have done it for the right reasons. He may have been sincere. But it's just not the place a Kohen should be. So, as a kanas, as a fine, you can't serve now in the Beis HaMikdash. I get. Aval Kalim lo. Odim aloshna. But by Kalim, what are we going to do? We're going to penalize the Kli? It's an inanimate object. It's a little strange that we're going to penalize the Kli because...
Should have known better.
Right. It's served in the Beis Chonya. It's just strange. So this is a question posed to Rebbe. And again, understand, of course, it's Torah Lishma, meaning Rebbe lived after the destruction of the Second Temple. Right? And Beis Chonya may have very well been around at that time. Right? And by the way, if that's true, I don't know if that's true. If that's true, we're talking 400 years after Beis Chonya was set up. Beis Chonya was set up in the beginning of the Second Temple. Right? Rebbe lived in the year 200 of the Common Era. So we are, right, four centuries afterwards. But still, it's Torah Lishma. There's no Beis HaMikdash now.
Right. I don't know how to categorize it. It's not Nevis issue. If it was a testimony issue, you would lose your ability to testimony because you puzzle on this thing because you don't keep this particular.
Right, testimony. But I'm not following you. The Gemara is clear about the Kohanim. Kohanim are for sure off the. They're on the do not call list. It's only on the question's only on the Kalim. Okay.
Now here it says something like it wasn't the Jews who were sacrificed. He encouraged the Goyim to bring.
Okay.
So not the Jews.
Oh, okay, fine. Is the Goyim for their?
The Goyim.
Uh huh. Avakelim lo odim lo shna. Amarle asurin hein. So Rebbe's answer is no good. You can't use the Kalim. Umikra hayabi adinu b'shachachunu. And Rebbe says, and I have a shameful admission. I have a pasuk. And I have a pasuk to prove my point. I forgot the pasuk. Okay, for me that's not a shameful admission. It is, but I admit it every day. But Rebbe over here says, I know there's a pasuk out there that alludes to it. I forgot. Okay, story continues. Eitzvei, I'm going to challenge you based on the following. Kol hakelim asher hinecha melech achaz b'machuso b'malo heichanu v'hikdashnu. All the kelim that were used by Achaz. Now Achaz is avodah zarah. Right, he is big time Avodah Zarah. His son Chizkiyahu got rid of all of it and did a lot of things to try to eradicate the Avodah Zarah of his father Achaz. This is all during, of course, the First Temple, and even to the point where Chizkiyahu dragged the bones of his father Achaz. Right, remember that? So he did a lot to try to cleanse it. And the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim describes that all the kelim that were left over by Achaz, heichanu v'hikdashnu, prepared and sanctified. My love, Dashnu, so you see that were kalim that were used for avodah zara. So you see that it's okay. We tovel them in the mikvah, and it's good, and we re-sanctify them. So amar le. So now this is a brisa. Now we're not really sure what the brisa means. Whoever challenged Rebbe gave a pshat in the brisa. Amale baruch atah l'shamayim shehechazarta li avedasi. Rebbe says that's the pasuk. Ah, good. Now you're wrong. You're wrong about how you understood the pasuk, but that's the pasuk I was trying to think about. By the way, it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. You know, maybe we can forgive Rebbe for getting a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Heichanu she. So he says, and you're wrong. The pshat in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, heichanu sheganzum v'idashnu sheidashnu acherim tachtehem. Oh. Heichanu does not mean that we prepared these kalim. The kalim that were used by Achaz, done, over with. Right? And hidashnu means new kalim. Oh, okay, fine.
How do you get that?
How did I get that? How did Rebbe get that?
No, how did Rebbe get that?
So, yeah.
Heichanu, it says the kalim.
Yeah, the pshat that was offered. Yeah, the first pshat that was offered is not a bad pshat. Rebbe didn't like it. I don't know. Lema misayale. Okay, good. So now that we have this, so now this totally supports Rebbe. Something that was used in Beis Chonyo, so Rebbe says no good. It's disqualified. Although remember though, this is kind of an important point. Beis Chonyo is not a makom avodah zarah. We're presuming that throughout this discussion. So I'm not sure if it's a fair, totally fair comparison to Achaz and the kalim that were used by Achaz, because that was avodah zarah. Okay. Rashi, by the way, is sensitive to that. Yeah, Rashi is sensitive to that. Rashi points out, look at the Rashi, v'hiktishnum, v'de'akdishaninu. It's the Rashi, Rashi a little bit earlier. Shechazu u'mashkum b'shem na'mishcha ama kevin de'medaraisa lo mitzarei de'ha'hekdesh ninu ve'ein adam oso davar she'enu shalo inu na'mi lo gazru alayaho v'la b'nei de'aninu. Right, you see what Rashi did over there? Rashi said that the kalim by Achaz, right, that the kalim that Achaz used, we're not really answering them. Because ein adam osa davar she'enu shalo doesn't belong to Achaz, it belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. But still, though, it's tainted. It's not the same. It's, you know, it went through a subtle change, and yet the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, according to Rebbe's interpretation, says that's it. It's no longer good. It's invalidated. So we go to the kalim of Beis Chonyo. Same basic idea. It's not. It wasn't used for avodah zarah, but still, it's tainted. It was used for some other religious activity. Okay, let's go on. In the Gemara, Lema Misayele Mizrachet Sfarnes Ba Ganzu Beis Chashmonai Mesavnei Mizbach Sheshiksu Anshe Yavan. Okay, Mishnah in Midos. Mishnah Midos gives us a walking tour of the Second Temple. Right, we are going to do the Mishnah Midos. Daf Yomi is a little strange in that regard. Certain things in the Daf Yomi schedule I will never understand. Right, when we get to the end of Avodah Zarah, when we get to the end of Seder Nezikin, we won't do a lot of the Mishnayos at the end of Seder Nezikin. I don't know why. Avos, we're not going to do Avos. We're not going to do Adios. We just don't do it. I don't know why. And then for some reason, when we get to the end of Kachim and the Mishnayos and Midos, that we do. Okay, for whatever reason, that was decided. So anyway, so this is the Mishnah Midos. It gives us a walking tour of the Second Temple. And it goes now to the northeast corner. In the northeast corner, what are you going to find over there? You're going to find a Geniza house where they stored the Avnei HaMizbeach that were defiled by the Anshei Yavan. Okay? Members of the Yavanim defiled it. What does that mean? They used it for avodah zarah. So good. So that now sounds like Once something was used for Avodah Zarah, and again, we're going to go to Rashi's point over here, it didn't really transfer over to Avodah Zarah. That didn't really happen. It just is now that it was used for Avodah Zarah. It's tainted, and it can't be used anymore. And much like Rebbe is saying regarding the Kelim of Beis Chanya. Amar of Papa Hasam Krashkach V'darish Tichzuv Aval Bapritzim V'chilaluhu. The Gemara says, no, that's different over there. Because the Pasuk in Yechezkel describes that the Pritzim come in. Pritzim are a Prutza, somebody who doesn't care, is literally immodest. Right, but here in this context, much more than just being immodest. Somebody who really is it just has no regard. V'chilaluhu, and he defiled it. So Amri Hechinave. So the Gemara says, what can we do now with the stones of the Mizbeach that were defiled? Nit berinhu. If we're going to break it, Avanim Shlemos Amar Rachmana. So you can't, because in order to make the Mizbeach, you need whole stones. You can't put stones together. Nin serinu. What are we going to do? We're going to smooth out the top. Lo sanif alayim barzel. We can't do that. Amar Rachmana. And what about the Shamir worm? The Gemara does not talk about that. And it's during the Second Temple period, right? Questionable whether or not they had it or not. V'yamai lit berin of lishkalin ol nafshayu mi'alam ravoshi abikshu lignos kol kesef azav shaba olam. So the Gemara suggests now the following. Why not just break it and then, you know, distribute it, disperse it? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshia, Bikshu Lignos Kol Kesef Azav Sheba Olam, Mishim Kasper Dehav Ashur Yerushalayim. You know, they originally, after the destruction of the temple, they wanted to prohibit all gold and silver in the world because it may have come from Yerushalayim. Dehavinan Ba. Now, even on that, the Gemara says, I don't understand that. Yerushalayim Havya Ruba Da'alma? What? All the gold and the silver in the world really comes from Yerushalayim? That can't be. Elam Rabbi, Bikshu Lignos Dinare Hejriani Turaina Shipa Mimne Tava Shil Yerushalayim. Certain coins that were minted in Yerushalayim. Ashematzul Amikra Minator Shum Mutter. Uva Uva Pritzim Vichiluha. The Pasuk says that they, no, once the Pritzim come in, so they deconsecrate it. So the Gemara says, so once you see that by the coins of deconsecration, can't you say the same thing by the Avne HaMizbeach? Once the Greeks come in and defile it, so it no longer has any kedusha whatsoever. So, you know, you can have, you could use it. You could use the stones of the Mizbeach. Hasam lo yisham shubuhu lagavoa, hachakim de yisham shubuhu lagavoa, lav orachar li yisham shubuhu hajota. The Gemara says, look, coins were not used lagavoa. Avne HaMizbeach were used lagavoa, so therefore, you can't compare. There's a big discussion amongst the Rishonim over here. Right, I saw the he discusses it over there. Now that I'm on tape, let me give credit. Who is it? I'm sorry. So it's only right now. Okay, Rabbi Dickstein from Muncie. So he puts together an Al Hadaf. It's a good publication. So anyway, so he discusses it over there. Big major discussion amongst the Rishonim. When we talk about the Yevanim coming in and defiling the stones of the Mizbeach, and therefore what we did is we took the Mizbeach and we put in Geniza, meaning that in the Second Temple we have a house dedicated for the stones of the Mizbeach because they were put in Geniza. Who defiled it? Right. So I would have said it's the Greeks, because, you know, I know the Hanukkah story just a little bit, and I would have said the Greeks. So he quotes the Baal Mahor. The Baal Mahor says, no, it wasn't the Greeks. It was us. The Jews. Right? He says it's got to be the Baal Mahor, because Greeks can't come in. Right? What are they going to do? They're going to do their Avodah Zarah? Great. You can't change the status of something that does not belong to you. So the Greeks can't come in and really affect the Mizbeach. So the Baal Mahor says it's got to be the Yevanim, it's got the Mityavnim, the Jews who were Hellenized. Those are the people who contaminated, defiled the Avne HaMizbeach. And he quotes other Rishonim who argue on the Baal Mahor. It's interesting discussion.
What's the purpose of...
Right. And right. Even I was wondering the same thing also in the Balmor. How do you get to that conclusion? He uses, I mean, the Balmor throws around words like Me'ilah, but you're right, though. Mo'ol Behekdesh only works for something that belongs to you. Okay.
They stole it for that.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
The stones that were broken and they were still kept in the temple. Why are they still kept in the temple?
Because they need Geniza. Right?
And it needed to be hidden there.
Again, it goes back. Remember, we talked about Geniza yesterday. True of the matter is, Rashi maintained that Geniza means storage. Right? Tosfos says not necessarily. Tosfos says Geniza could be pulverized and destroyed. So you're right. According to Tosfos, it's a fair question. Why did they have to keep it? Right.
You say, though, that you don't use Kesef in a Hekdesh, and then how about by Maaseh Sheni? You say the Tzartar Kesef.
Right, right. Correct.
You can.
Correct, absolutely correct. Okay. Ovi Kochavim, Mevata Avarus Kocham, Shalom Vishal Chavero. More about Bito. A non-Jew can be Mevata Avodah Zarah, even if the Avodah Zarah doesn't belong to him. He could be mevatel it. Remember, not that long ago, we talked a story about an Avodah Zarah lying down on the ground, and before I forgot who the story was involved with, but before they picked it up, they asked the guy, come over here, right, you see this, can you be mevatel it? So the guy's first response was no. And then after a couple of shots to the head, he said, yeah, I'd love to nullify it. Okay, so a guy could be mevatel, even if the Avodah Zarah does not belong to him. The Yisrael ain mevatel avodah, because kochavim shel ove kochavim. And a Jew cannot be mevatel avodah zarah, even if it belongs to a non-Jew. For sure, if it belongs to a Jew, never subject to bittul. But even if it belongs to a non-Jew, Jew can't do it. Ha-mevatel avodah kochavim mevatel misham sheha, bittul misham sheha, misham shen, v'tarm v'hi asura. If you're mevatel the avodah zarah, all the accessories to the Avodah Zarah also get nullified. It makes perfect sense, right? The whole accessories are exactly that. They accessorize a particular object. Once the object is no longer used, the accessories go by the wayside as well. But the opposite's not true, obviously. If I mevatel the accessories, but still the Avodah Zarah is still intact, if the goy was not mevatel the actual Avodah Zarah itself. We'll talk that later today. Next Mishnah. Here's what you taught us when you were younger. And Ovi Kocham can be Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah of his and of a Jew. So the Gemara says, now that can't possibly be. The Yisrael Mika Mevatla, Vaha, Visam Beseisuk Siv. We have the Pasuk in the Brachos and the Klalos. Sam Beseisur. And we learned yesterday that tells us that if I have an Avodah Zarah belonging to a Jew, Geniza. It has to be, that's it. You can't be mevatelin. So Amar Vila Bereder of Wallace, I mean, I don't know if they pronounced it that way, but the Rabbi Wallace, on Nitzrucha Sheesh La Ba Shutfus. So no, that doesn't mean that. It means partnership. If I have an Avodah Zarah, that it's joint ownership of the Avodah Zarah, 50% Jew, 50% non-Jew. It doesn't have to be 50-50. I'm just throwing out those numbers. So that could be subject to bittul. That's what he said in his youth, and then later in life he changed his too. Now, b'yalduso ma'kasaver v'ziknuso ma'kasaver. What's going on over here? B'yalduso saver Yisrael adaita dovik kochav and palach kevin dovik kochav mevatel denafshei di Yisrael nami mevatla. If it is an avodah zarah jointly owned by Jew and non-Jew. So there, he thought in his youth, you know, the Jew is really a part owner. He's a silent owner. He's a silent partner. Meaning, the Jew doesn't really believe in it. He's just in it for the ride. You know, the non-Jew came over to me, asked me, do you want to buy an Avodah Zarah? I thought it was such a great idea. He's bowing down to it. You know what? I'll do the same as well. But on his own, he doesn't really believe in it. And so therefore, once the non-Jew is mevatel his share, the Jew says, you know what, I just did it for him. Okay. Uvizik Nusosava, that was a younger thinking process. And then as he aged and as he started to think things through a little bit more, he then changed his tune. Savar, Yisrael Adaita Denavshei Palach, Kimavato Velkocham Denashei, Di Yisrael Lo Batil. But then he realized, no, the only thing the non-Jews Mevatel is just his shares, and that's it. So now what we're going to do is we're going to basically learn the same point, the same idea, but not attach it to the first part of the Mishnah, attach it to the second part of the Mishnah. In the second part of the Mishnah, we said, a Jew cannot be mevatel a idol of a non-Jew. Pshita. The Gemara's response is, come on, I knew that. I'm Rav Hillel Berei de Rabbi Wallace, so Nitzrach HaSheish La Bashutfus. V'kamash Man Yisrael Hu De La Mevatel Do V'kocham Mevatel V'kocham De Nafshei Mevatel. Same basic point. The second half of the Mishnah is talking about a partnership, and the point is that a non-Jew may be Mevatel, be able to Mevatel his share, but certainly he's not Mevatel the share belonged by a Jew, and a Jew certainly cannot be Mevatel that as well. Iked Amasin La Braisa. Now what we're going to do is we're going to learn the same halacha, but not off the Mishnah, off a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, Avos Kacham Sheisa Ein La Betela Olamis. What does that mean? My Olamis, it never subject to Bittul. So I'm Rav Hillel Berei de Rav Wallace. Let's Rachel Sheish Lo Olav Kacham Bashifros VeKamashulan. He saw a Daita de Nafshei Palach. And again, for a third time now, we're going to stay over the same halacha. The Jew is not Mevatel. He's Shir in Avodah Zarah. Okay. Ketzad Mevatla. How are you Mevatel Avodah Zarah? Asks the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Avodah Zarah. So, Kata Rosh Azna, Rosh Chotma, Rosh Etzba'a, you cut off a piece of the Avodah Zarah, an ear off the Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah could be the form of an animal as well, not necessarily a human being. Cut off the ear, cut off the nose of the Avodah Zarah, Rosh Etzba'a, or even a digit, take a piece off of the Avodah Zarah. Pachsa, denting the Avodah Zarah, Afa Pishlo Chisra, even though you didn't take off a piece, Bitla, that works as well. Okay. So clearly, what we see from this Mishnah is that it has to be physical damage to the Avodah Zarah. Okay? It's not enough for him to just simply say, I'm done with you. Okay? What if he does something that clearly repudiates the Avodah Zarah? And what if he does something that he didn't physically damage the Avodah Zarah, but says, I'm disgusted with you? So Mishnah says that's not enough. Look at the Mishnah. Mishnah gives unbelievable examples. Rak b'faneha, let's say he spits at the Avodah Zarah. Hishtim b'faneha, urinates on the Avodah Zarah. Gara, drags it. Zarek bas at soa, throws excrement at it. That's not good. Because you know what it is? He's having a fight with his Avodah Zarah. Yeah, it's funny, I joke, but you'll see that's exactly what the Gemara is going to say. He's frustrated with his Avodah Zarah right now. Right? I'm just saying. He just lost a lot of money. Oh my God, lowercase g. Oh my God. what did you do to me? That's all it is. It's a lover's quarrel. Alright, Machra Omashkina, Rebbe Omer Bita V'chachamim Omer Lo Bita. What if he sells his Avodah Zarah? Or what if on a loan lender says to him, buddy, what do you got for me? I'm not gonna lend you the money. You got anything to secure the loan? So he says, sure, and he takes out his idol. And he uses his idol as a mashkon, as a collateral, to collateralize the loan. So the Mishnah brings down the machlokas over here. Rebbe says that's bittul. And the Chachamim say it's not bittul. Much to talk about that machlokas of Rebbe. And the Chachamim, the Gemara is going to discuss. Okay, ki lo chisra b'may bitla. So first of all, here's what the Gemara is first bothered by. Like cutting off a digit, a limb of the Avodah Zarah, that's an act of bittul for sure. Physical damage. Denting it. Look, you just dented it. It's not. It is physical damage, But you didn't diminish from the Avodah Zarah. How does that work? So that's exactly what's bothering the Gemara. Amar Rav Zera Shepachsa Bifaneha. So you dented it right in the face.
Disfigured it.
Right, you disfigured it. And that the Gemara says is sufficient. Now, if you, we learned in our mission, if you spit in the face of the Avodah Zarah, or if you urinate at it, that's not good enough. Gemara here quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Vayaki Yirav. Pasuk in Yeshayahu describes what's going to happen to these idolaters. They're going to get hungry. Vihiskatsef, and they're going to get angry. Vikilab makov alahav, and they curse their kings and their gods. And here, lowercase g. Ufanala mala, and they turn to God. Uppercase g. Oh, good. So it sounds like we're having a religious revival, right? Uksiv basrei, however, read on in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, ve'al eretz yabit. But they come back down to earth, right? A little, no atheist in a foxhole, right? A little moment of reality, of a singular monotheistic God, but then they go right back to their Avodah Zarah. Ve'inetzar ve'chashcha, and it's dark. And the Gemara now gives really a simple pshat in the pasuk. Alpha gav de kilam al kov elohav. Look, they may spend some time cursing their gods, ufana lamala, and they may even take a moment to think about the God, but el eretz yabit, but they go right back down to earth. Okay.
Does it also have to do with that he depreciated the value of the idol? In other words, if he would want to sell it, does anybody mention that?
Sale now. The sugya of selling an idol is coming up right now. So okay, so, and the Gemara is going to spend some time talking about selling a Avodah Zarah.
Does this mean even though he's renouncing and gone to Hashem right at this minute, it's still not fiddle
because he's going to come back to it? Correct.
Eventually.
Correct. Because that's, in other words, an act of bittul has to be an act of finality. You'll see in the Gemara coming up. It's got to be something where you know he's not coming back to it. And so if you're just having a fight, it's just a fight. Right? They'll come back to each other. Yeah. I was thinking that also. Just, you know. Rebbe Omer Bittel. Okay, here we go now. We're going to get into this discussion. Here's a sugya of selling an Avodah Zarah. Now, it's so interesting because it just, the progression of the Gemara, you see in the Gemara, Gemara didn't even like denting, meaning denting was a question as to whether or not that's an act of bittul. And it's just strange, it's interesting that selling, you know, I understand you're selling it.
He's going to make money.
But it's the Avodah Zarah is still there, but understood that when you're selling it, it's like, you know, you wouldn't sell, right? You wouldn't sell your deity. Okay, so Ziri Amar Rav Yochanan v'Rav Yirmiyahu bar Av Amar Rav Charam Amachlokes B'tzarif Ove Kochavim. So here the Gemara now is going to try to qualify the whole debate. The whole machlokes over here is by Tzarif Ove Kochavim. If you sell it to a smith who is a non-Jew, Rashi over here is very clear that even though we're talking about a blacksmith who's going to melt it down, Rashi says it's lav davka. It doesn't necessarily mean, right? Rashi writes stam loche mateches tsorfim heim. Just generally speaking, that's the people who are buying it. In other words, the people who just want the metal content, right? We buy gold. So, fine. Anyway, so if I sell it to a non-Jew, that's a debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Ava b'tzarif Yisrael divrei hakol bittul. But if I sell it to a Jew, not I, wrong preposition, wrong pronoun, and here we're talking about a non-Jew. If a non-Jew sells it to a Jew, there is no debate. Both Rebbe and the Chachamim say that's an act of bittul for sure, right? Because Jew's not gonna want to worship it, and for sure if you're selling it to a blacksmith, for sure. Okay, so according to one opinion, that's the whole machlokas. The Chanamar Bitzor Yisrael Machlokas. And the other Amora says no. That even Bitzor Yisrael, even if you're selling it to Bitzor Yisrael, it's going to be a debate. Now, you heard what I said. I said the word even. The Gemara is not sure if that's correct. Ibailu Bitzor Yisrael Machlokas of Atzorish Ovikocham Devra called Lo Bitzor, O Dilma Beimazel Uveimazel Machlokas. The Gemara says, I'm not sure. This opinion that if I sell it to a Jew, that's a machlokas. Does that mean that if I sell it to a non-Jew, that if a goy sells it to a non-Jew, there is no machlokas? Everyone agrees that there's no bittul? Or no? Is there a machlokas in both? Selling to a Jew or selling to a non-Jew? Tashma da Amar Rebbe. So the Gemara says, well, let's do it like this. We have the following quote of Rebbe. Now remember, Rebbe's one of the people who argued in the Mishnah. The Mishnah writes, if you sell your Avodah Zarah, Rebbe says, that's bittul. The Chachamim say that's not bittul. Now listen to Rebbe talk about this machlokas. Nirin divarai kishamachra lechavala v'divrei chaverai shemachra leovda. Rebbe says, you know what sounds logical? Sounds like I'm right. It's an unbelievable self-awareness on the part of Rebbe. Meaning, look, I'm arguing with the Chachamim. I know they don't agree with me. But I'm more correct if you're selling it to a junkyard. Who's going to scrap it? And my counterparts, my disputants, are more correct if they're selling it to another worshiper. Okay? That's Rebbe talking. Now, the Gemara hears Rebbe and hears Rebbe very carefully. So, my lechavala, my leovda. Now, first of all, what does that mean? Ilem lechavala, lechavala, mamish, leovda, leovda, mamish. My time and demand, amar bito, my time and demand, amar lo bito. Look, Gemara says, when Rebbe says, I'm selling it to a scrapyard, it can't be that the guy sells it to a scrapyard and anyone's going to say, oh, that's not an act of bito. Of course, that's an act of bito. And if I'm selling it to another worshiper, that's certainly not an act of bittul. El alav lechavala lemisha asid lechavla umanut sarev Yisrael laovda lemisha asid laovda umanut sarev ove kochavim. Here, avda and chavala are code words, and chavla means someone who's probably going to destroy it, meaning a Jew. Ovda means someone who's probably going to worship it, meaning a non-Jew. Oh. Now, Ushma Mina, just give me a moment. Ushma Mina, Bein Bezeu, Vein Bezeu, Machlokas. Now, the fact that Rebbe's talking and he's saying, I think I'm more right when we're selling it to a Jew, when the guy's selling it to a Jew, and I think the Chachamim are more correct when selling it to a non-Jew, by him saying that, it now you get the impression that there's a debate in both cases, when you're selling it to a Jew or you're selling it to a non-Jew. Okay, look, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Meaning, you set up Rebbe's statement, like if you set Rebbe's statement up like that, fine, but you don't have to. Hachi kamar, because we could understand Rebbe and his statement more like this. Amar Rebbe, nirin divarei lechaverei kishamachra lechavala, umanet sarf Yisrael. Shav chaverei lo nechluku alai, ela kishamachra leovda. Rebbe's not saying we argue. Rebbe's saying when they sell it, when they, the non-Jew, sell it to a Jew, they don't argue with me. Nirin over here doesn't mean I seem to be more correct. Nirin means they agree with me that when a non-Jew sells it to a Jew, there's no bittul. Okay.
A Jew sold it to someone else after the fact. The first person nullified it.
Once the Jew owns it, it's done. This whole discussion is only if the non-Jew is selling it.
No, I know, but he sells it to the Jewish.
So if he sells it to a Jew,
Jewish smelter, to the blacksmith, and someone walks into the blacksmith shop and says, "Ooh, I want to buy that before you."
Right. So there's. So again. So now the Gemara brings down a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, and a subsequent machlokas between Amorayim, whether or not they're arguing in that case. Rebbe and the Chachamim for sure are arguing. How about if I sell it to a Jew? Subject to a debate amongst the Amorayim, whether or not that's agreed to by everyone. If that, in fact, is an act of bittul. Okay, okay, later we'll talk about the conclusion. Nesei, the Gemara is going to challenge Alokech Grutaos Min Ovdi Kochavim. You go to a non-Jew and you buy a whole bunch of little metal, pieces of metal. Silver, says Rashi. And amongst them you find an Avodah Zarah. Okay, fine. Now, as the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, he didn't intend to sell you that. Okay? It just came along with a whole bunch of other scraps of metal. If you didn't pay for it already, you just give it back to him. Ask him to be mevatalit. He'll be mevat. If he's mevatalit, then you can buy it back. If you already paid for it, so then you should not should you then need to destroy it. What difference does it make whether you paid for it or if you didn't pay for it? Rashi says, Yolech Hanal Yamamelech. Rashi is five lines from the bottom of the page. Ein Rashal Achzirlo V'Kochavim V'Litom Ha'osav Ha'afagav D'Meshichas B'Taos Havei. Look, you didn't want to buy a Avodah Zarah. That wasn't your intention. D'Yayiv Kevan D'Yayiv Dame Ki Hadash Shaklino Mechze Kaman D'Mizban. It looks like you bought it. Ha'afagav D'Zavino V'Kochavim L'Yisrael Ketani Asur D'Lo Batla. Okay? So it's almost like Marasai, almost like that. E amar bishlam bitzar v'yisra machlokas hamani rabbanan. He look, what just happened over here? There was a transaction. Non-Jew sold the avodah zarah to Jew, and what are we saying? We're saying no good. You know, avodah zarah stole avodah zarah. Ela e amar bitzar v'avikocham machlokas av bitzar v'yisra divrei hakol bitzal. Hamani, but if you maintain that there's no machlokas when they sell it to a Jew and everyone agrees that's an act of bittul, so you're fine. Shani Hasam da'adaita de gruto zavin, adaita davos kocham lo zavin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's different though, because when the non-Jew sold it, he didn't know that that was that avodah zarah there, so it's different. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, love Alaha, he borrows against it. Right, he uses it as collateral. Shenafa ala mapolis, house falls down, avodah zarah is buried underneath. Osha ganvu listim, stolen. Osha nirchu abalim v'hachul medina sayam, or they move and they didn't pack the avodah zarah. did not feel that it was that important. Im asidim lachzor. If they're planning to come back to get it, so it's not batal. Okay, four cases over here in this brisa. Period. That's the end of the brisa. Four cases over here in the brisa describing how it's not batal, even if they collateralized against it, even if a house falls on it. Even if it was stolen, even if they moved and left it here, in all those cases, it's not batal. Gemara says all four cases are necessary. Utsri chadita na lava alah midlo zavna lo batla avanaf alah mapoz midlo kamafni la ema betule batla tricha. Look, in case number one, he didn't sell it; just secured a loan with it, meaning it's mine. It's just a piece of collateral. I know, you know, when you collateralize something, you don't expect to lose it.
Right.
Fine. But if a house fell on it and he's not digging to get it up, you would think that's bittul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The itana nafla alaha mapolis mishum de sava haman khas kolayma de bina la shakinala. Avaganvu listim medeloka mahada basrai bitula batla. Look, if a house fell on it, he knows where it is.
He'll always get it.
But robbers come and steal it, and he's not hunting down the robbers for his deity. You might have thought that he let go. No. V'itana ganvua listim misham desavar o v'kocham shakala meflach palachla. O yisro shakla aydi dedama yikar mizavna lo v'kochamam palachla. Look, even the case where it was stolen, he's thinking to himself, okay, look, I lost it, but somebody else is going to get it and is going to worship it. It's a good God. It's a great deity. Someone else will get benefit from it. But if they moved away and they didn't pack it, Right? Usually when you move, you take away the things that are precious to you. You leave the things here that really don't have much value. So utzricha. So all them are, all these cases are needed, because even in the case where they left it, we concern ourselves with the fact that they may come back. Maybe. The Gemara says, you know the Amorim didn't come back. You're right, but they wanted to. In other words, that's the whole point. As long as their intent is to come back, so then it's not batal. The Gemara says, and oh, by the way, why bring up Yahushua? What does that have to do with anything over here? You could have made the point without talking about Yahushua. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right, but I wanted to make this point. Sorry. We talked about this earlier in the Masechta, about a week ago. If I have a Yisrael who takes a brick and puts the brick up on a vertical, and he wants to bow down to it, and along comes a guy and bows down to it, asra. It's now asr. Minalan de asra. Now, how do you know it's asr? Now, carefully listen, because it's not the guy's; it's yours. So, how did he do that? Amar Allah kitchila shalarti saw. Amar Rachman v'asherhem tisrafun be'esh. The Gemara says, I'll show you the precedent. They go into Israel. And any asherah tree we need to burn. Now, michti. Now, think about it. Yerusha hilahem me'avoseim ve'in adam osu davashena shalom. How is there an asherah tree in Israel? The land did not belong to them. The land was given as a Yerusha to our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because without the Gemara, I would have said the land was promised to Abraham, but he didn't have it yet. And our Gemara is saying no, right? It's a Yerusha. They actually got it. And then when the land was occupied by the seven Canaanite nations, they were not owners of the land.
They could be the trees.
Right.
They planted the trees there.
Okay.
Only the trees
that, right, and the Gemara, and correct, and the Gemara does not say that. Yerusha ilahem me'avosem and adam also davashena shalom. V'imishum hanachta mikar b'vitula ba'amastagilu. And any trees before Avram Avinu, the Gemara assumes that there was bittul. Ella, and listen to this. This is unbelievable Gemara. Midapach yisrael le'egal. Now as we're going through the desert and we bow down to the egal, galu adaitau denichalu ba'avodas kochavim. Now we basically declared we're into avodah zarah. We're into it. And now the chiyasu of the kocham shlichos adidu amdo. So now, split the screen. On one side of the screen, you're showing the Jewish people worshipping the Avodah Zarah. We're into Avodah Zarah now. Now, on the other side of the screen is going to be all the seven Canaanite nations in Israel who are bowing and worshipping their idolatry. And they're basically, you know what they are? They're our proxy. Right, it is Avodah Zarah by proxy in Israel because of us in the egg. Because of us in the egg. At that moment, Hachanami. So now that you know that, Yisrael Shezak of Levena Gal Yadaita Denichalei Bavosh Kochavim V'Chiyas Avikocham Apachlei Shlichusa Didei Ka'avid. So same thing. When I take a brick and I put it up and I say, "Here I am. I'm ready to worship it," and a guy comes down and bows down to it by proxy, it's like me worshiping it. Now, the Gemara says, first of all, what a wild assumption that we worship the eagle. It's like carte blanche. We're into all of Avodah Zarah now. How did you know that? The Gemara says, Amakra, Eila Elohecha Yisrael. These are the gods of Israel. Malamed She'ivu Lelohus Harbei. Ema called the Bahadi Egel Nitzru, Mikan Ve'elach Nitzru, Saman Muchach. So the Gemara says, you don't know. You don't know if it was just an Egel thing. There's nothing self evident that it's just an Egel thing. Really, an unbelievable ending to today's daf.